The following interview was conducted on behalf of the Oral History Program of the Washington County Museum and Century High School. The interviewee is Linda Garcia. The interviewer is Katie Cullen. The interview took place at Century High School on Wednesday, May 30th, at 2001, at 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm just going to start with, where were you at, in your life at the time that the Vietnam War broke out?
I was in high school at it was Hillsboro High School. At that time was called Thomas Middle School. During my 4 years that I was there, our classmates knew that they were going to have to be drafted in the Vietnam War. There was no choice. You didn't go and you were not at a point to be enlisted. So psychologically, there were two ways that we knew that there would be no drafting, and that would be if a student had exceptional good grades and they got honor and they went on to college, or they got married and had children. Those were the only two ways that you didn't go to Vietnam, unless you were a girl, of course, and then that would be a choice. That's where I was at this point of time.
Did you see a lot of your friends and classmates choose the route to get married and have children as a way to avoid the war?
Not really, because the girls, again, were not subjected to it, and so I don't believe that a girl would have gone out and married a boy just for that reason.
But did, how about with the school, going on to college, was that more?
College, they worked very hard for good grades because they knew that that was the only way that they would get out of having to go to Vietnam. I also saw at a later point of time that if they drafted, they would try to go to Canada. That was a place they felt was a safe place to hide. Some of them would go and try to find jobs and not share with the government where they were at. And I had physically seen, after I got out of school, where they came to your company that you worked at and physically retrieve them and put them in cars and took them to war. There was no choice. You went to Vietnam. That's the way it was.
Even at the age when you were younger in high school, was that, or was it once they reached 18 that they were drafted?
18 and out of school. No, they did not come and get you while you were going to high school. This was something that after you got out of school, it was an automatic thing that you had to go to the post office, and you had to give your name and where you lived and all the information so that they knew where you were at when the time was there for you to serve your country.
But you saw, did you have friends that tried to avoid the draft by going to Canada or different things? Was that something that was common among people here in Hillsboro?
No, not me personally with my friends. I saw that more as an adult, where I had a bigger horizon of what was happening out there. But no, my personal friends that I knew, they went. Some of them didn't come back, and some of them came back with missing legs and arms, and some of them came back with mental problems. It was not an easy war.
How did that affect you more like psychologically and emotionally to see your friends come back from this war that was not supported very well by the country and be so, having had fought so hard and come back?
How did it affect me? Because at that time I was raised around it. That was something that we knew that was going to be existing. The only negative thing that you would probably have found out of it is by being in an environment, if negative, that someone would say that they were against it. But as me, I came from a background with my men family that were in wars, and so I just guess I accepted that that was something that we were supposed to do. So I wasn't part of that group, as you would say, that would have been stomping up and down and trying to make an issue of not going. I didn't know that much other than it existed, and I felt that if the government said we were supposed to do it, we were supposed to do it. Now that was the way my family felt at the time. as time goes on, you learn more about it. But it was an accepted thing in my family.
When you were in school, did you see a lot of controversy among the war, anti-war, pro-war people? Any demonstrations?
No demonstrations that I can remember, no.
So it's pretty, just an accepted thing?
Where I was at, I'm sure the boys, the guys, they were all scared, but again, the people that I associated with one-on-one just knew that they needed to do this. The other things that I had explained on the reasons and how you could get out of it was just because we all knew that that existed. I'm only sharing for history's sake that though that is how and what happened, but not necessarily what I personally had experienced.
Was your education at all influenced by the war? Did you participate in drills or were teachers
to do anything with war coming?
Yeah.
No. The answer to that would be no, and that probably our schools, because it wasn't here in the States, we didn't have drills. Like what we would have, like fire drills in our schools. No, because we were not physically involved with war here in the States. As far as anything else that we saw, it was pretty much we just knew we had to leave to go see it. It didn't affect me with my education because I was a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Probably boys would have maybe worked harder for good grades, but the girls were pretty lucky in that way. They knew that they just needed to be supportive of what happened, and some of us married military later. I was one who did, and my husband went to Vietnam for 4 years and came back home, thought that he was through with his four-year term, and in the process of the time lapse, he was killed in a car wreck, and he got a letter, or I should say I got a letter from the government stating that he needed to be re-enlisted, and it took me quite a while to be able to do the legal work that I needed to do to prove that he was deceased. So if the military wanted you, they wanted you, and we just knew that. I'll have to say that I did go through a lot of stress with that emotionally, not losing my husband, but knowing that I had to deal with the government with the paperwork as well. But other than that, no. I hope that answered your question.
As far as you know, was it common that after a man served his four-year term that he was asked to re-enlist or redrafted?
I didn't know of, I think that those were special events. I wouldn't know. That probably would be more from a man who could answer that better than me, because he would have been subjected to all that information. It's a little bit, you probably will get different interviews from women versus men, because the men served it, lived it, ate it, slept it. The woman, unless she was physically with that, wouldn't know those information unless someone had shared to them.
How was home affected by having the men at war? Did women take on different jobs, or was...
Women took on different jobs to the point that I worked for a cabinet company at one point in time in the office. And this is where I physically saw where women would go and do the line work, a staple, and where when men would come back from war, the women would have to leave the jobs, because that was one of the things, the commitments that I need to share is if a person, man, had a job and he had to go to war, when he got back home from war, his job was left open for him, and it didn't matter who they had to replace. It was by a seniority. So woman or man, whatever that job may be, he would be promised to go back on whatever employment he had. Which was a good thing, because if they were going to have to leave their job, we didn't need them coming home and having to go out on foot and try to find a job.
And was that just by company to company, or was that just pretty much an accepted thing?
It was an accepted thing.
What about the feelings of the people that were left home? Was there a support for the people who were out fighting, or was it just the men were gone and that was just that?
I didn't, again, being military environmental child, I didn't really see how it was a negative thing other than we missed our loved ones. We, of course, didn't want to see our parents have to go through heartache of burying their children or brothers and sisters being without their family. And there were letters, phone calls. There were communications that way. Care packages were sent to them. If a person from the military would send a letter, all of their letters came free. There was no charge for any postal service that way. So that was a good thing. So that, you know, I can remember that people used to send supportive things on toilet paper and paper, anything. You could find anything that you could write on. People would get mail with that kind of supplies. But I do remember that there were several hippies, is what we call them. Love childs is another word. That they pretty much were the ones that were against the war, and that's probably just because of the killing and the environment. But I do remember them. We have several grown-up people that I have been subjected to or have met that were in that setting, and golly, they are very well-known people now. So times change, but no, I wouldn't say that I personally here in Hillsboro saw anybody throwing things, having ill words to people. It was mostly we were supporting everybody. We wished for them all to come home and hoped and prayed, and that's about where we were at.
What sort of things did you do to help support? Did you was it just emotional support, or did you do any sort of trying to raise goods or funds?
I do remember we had POW bracelets that our school did sell. They were in the cafeteria during lunch times. It was for missing in action when a military person, they couldn't find them for some reason. They would have their name on them, and we would buy them, and then that monies would go to the family. I remember that. I almost had forgotten about that until you mentioned that. It's been so many years ago. As far as, I would say it would be emotionally more than the physicalness that we supported.
Did you see that Hillsboro was a farming community? Did prices change, or was the everyday life of the community affected by the war?
Well, I don't remember that as much as I was not into the farming itself, other than when I, you know, did all of my own by picking berries and beans. I mean, there were a lot of teenagers that did do that. It wasn't mostly, the farming wasn't so much for the adults. I don't think we had a problem with that. We had, as my family, had a funeral home in Hillsboro, and what I noticed was we had funerals because people would be coming home and their families would be dealing with them for that reason. But as far as the farming, I didn't see that. I think that was mostly the younger generation, and it wasn't so much of the adults.
But your family was personally affected due to the fact that you were involved in doing funerals, just an increase in business?
Well, I wouldn't know if you would want to call it increase in business, but I know what you're saying. I think the thing is we have, because you always have all ages, from babies to extremely elderly. Mm-hmm. I would say probably we did have more middle-aged people than usual for that time, but not necessarily. No, because we were just Hillsboro, and they had all other states to go to, so it would have been our own hometown people.
You talked about how high school was affected. What about college? Did you go on to college and see any
The training that I had, I would say, no, not necessarily. Again, we just went and tried to do as good as we could do. And if your grades didn't get kept up, then you were going to probably go and serve in Vietnam, and that's where the war was at the time. You also had, where it wasn't always Vietnam, there were different places that you went to, but military was the thing. That was the key thing. So again, me being a woman, girl, it didn't affect me like it did the men and the boys.
Okay. Did you have anything specific that happened to you that you just felt was important because of the war? Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about that involved your involvement and just relations in life that were affected or changed by the fact that the war was going on?
Well, I pretty much have summed that up through the interview by different stages that I've kind of put in where my personal life got involved. The only thing that I would like to footnote, you would say, on this interview is even though the Vietnam War, it looks like it really, there's pros and cons about it, and people were supporting and not supporting, I need to footnote, not knowing and living it, like I said, and eating and breathing it personally and by hearsay and what I have just physically seen here on home base, I need to share that the military, as far as I'm concerned, even as of today, even with all the wrongs, that it is a good thing, that we definitely need it. We need to ask questions. We need to talk to our president, governors, anybody that'll listen if we have a question. But we need to be supportive. We are a lucky place to live. We have freedom. We have a lot of rights that people would beg and cry for. I still have military family, even in the 2000s. I have two sons that are in the military, and I'll be just as supportive for them as I was during the Vietnam in the 60s. I remember seeing them coming home, watching it on TV. I believe I was holding our last child. It was in 1974 when our boys were coming home, and I stood there physically crying, watching them come off the plane because I was so proud of them. We just have to trust, in God's name, we have to trust that what we do is going to be okay, fair, and I guess that's what I need a footnote is. I am not a person that is against military. We had questions. Maybe it wasn't all right, but we're lucky to be able to live here, and freedom comes at a price.
And since your family was involved in the military, did you watch the war on TV?
Yes, I did. Yes. Whatever I could see, I was always wanting to know. A lot of times I learned more from TV than I did from my loved ones. And even today, I've probably learned more from television, CNN, newspaper, etc. Because my family doesn't really talk about the wars. It's just a very private, personal thing to them, and they try not to thrive on it. Yes, I'm not saying that they don't talk about it, but not really. It's a very private thing to them. For what purpose? Maybe it was just something that was so awful. Maybe it's something that they just don't want to bring up bad memories to somebody else or not know how it's going to affect the neighbor. Because everybody was involved in it in one way, shape. So I don't know. It's just not a conversational thing at our dinner table.
Did you notice that with friends that came back, that it just wasn't something that was talked about?
Pretty much. When they came home, they wanted to move on, and they wanted fresh air. They wanted to be around their loved ones. They were just glad to be home, and it wasn't something that you just spoke of. And again, not living it, I can't answer why they would do what they would do.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time and interview. Is there anything else that you wanted to add?
I can't. I think that this went very well. I hope that this is giving some kind of a footnote of history. I don't know what's going to become of this, but whatever it is, I hope it helps. I wouldn't want to leave a negative taste in anybody's, nor would I want to hurt anybody by bringing up the past, by having someone listen to this interview or wherever it may be documented. This is a historical thing that I'm doing this for, and that would be the only purpose of it.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.